wake on up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my God. There is so much happening in the Bay Area when it comes to our sports. We've got Niners coming off their first loss of the season.
Oh, my God.
Short turnaround against your division rival, Los Angeles Rams, Thursday at SoFi Stadium. Will Brock play? Will he not? Will Ricky Pearsall play? Will he not? A lot of question marks there.
Possibly.
We got the Giants looking for a new manager after they dismiss Bob Melvin after two seasons, 81 and 81 season. The definition of mid.
Oh, my God.
And you got the Golden State Warriors at Media Day yesterday, and the talk of the town was about who? Jonathan Kaminga. Because that's what
I'm not optimistic.
But beside all of that, we're going to start somewhere else. Joe Shasky gets his first fantasy win in our league. Let's go! Shasky's on the board! Yeah! Congratulations, Joe.
So I beat Mark Willard?
Oh, you did? Wait, and this can't be right. I can't be reading this right. No. No, Mark is the only winless team? No.
If he spent a little bit of time working on his roster and not bending over backwards to defend Brock Purdy's every single living breath, maybe his team would be a little better.
Next question.
Wow. Love you, Mark.
I had that joke ready to go from the minute I knew I was going to win.
You are not Kendrick Lamar, and you're not going to be humble in this one. You take that win. You know what? Good for you.
Remember, what? I barely look at my team.
Oh, really? So that's even worse for Mark if you barely look at it.
I executed one trade because I needed to get rid of some. So I couldn't have three Eagles. Remember that? I had the three Eagles, and I literally overpaid just to get rid of two of the Eagles. So take that for data.
Fly, Shasky, fly. By the way, we are streaming on YouTube right now, so you can see both of our lovely faces. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal Financing, the dealer. We got an action-packed show today.
I mean, the stuff that happened in the Bay Area yesterday was insane.
It was. No, I cannot think of like a crazier day with all three teams. Oh, no, seriously. And it's crazy to think that the managerial change might have been like in the order of like what was hitting me.
Uh-huh.
Might have been like the third.
Because we kind of knew and saw and thought it should be coming.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, and I also think
it felt inevitable.
Bob never really had an imprint within like the Giants fan base for them to really care one way or the other. Like, there was clear frustration. No, seriously.
I know, but this thing that Bob was a Giant one time for a couple years, like, he never connected
He was an A. Like, let's stop it right there. He was an A. He was never a Giant.
They've been trying to sell me, and I'm talking about former A's employees, and you know exactly who you are. Former A's covering, people who covered the A's. Everyone wanted to sell me on Bob Melvin. It never hit me. Bob never hit me
Bob
like that.
Bob never sold himself on being Bob Melvin to this team, to this fan base.
Absurd.
So that's where we're at with that. This is going to be a massive, you know, search. And, of course, the name that always pops up, Bruce Bochy, as the Texas Rangers in him part ways. Now, I did see, like, conflicting reports or tweets, you know, passing saying, you know, the Giants are going to be interested. Could Bochy be interested? But I got, you know, John Heyman also saying that, you know, he's going to stay on with the Texas Rangers, Bruce Bochy, that is, as a consultant. So who knows? All I know is that Bruce Bochy is currently not managing a Major League Baseball team, and I'm sure Buster Posey is going to reach out.
So I'm just a big believer in these reunite situations very rarely work out.
Mm.
You know, you might have a little bit of success. You know, I think like somebody like Joe Gibbs stepped away, went to NASCAR, came back to football. You know, it wasn't as good as the original tenure. I think of Don Nelson coming back. Look, I know We Believe was great, but it crashed and burned the next year. I mean, big time. And there's a variety of reasons why. I know everyone's going to point to Phil Jackson. Phil's a very unique case. Phil didn't want to coach through the lean years and made up reasons, as I go air quotes, to step away. And I think he was at a status in the game that allowed him to kind of do whatever he wanted. But we can all agree, Phil is quite close to a unicorn in this scenario, as you're going to find. And I know Bochy is the greatest New York or San Francisco manager of all time. I know there's somebody screaming about John McGraw in New York, but for my money, it's Bruce Bochy, and it's not close. I don't want to reach back into the past. One thing that's really frustrated me with the 49ers, and I'm talking about ownership, is that they're so worried about replicating the 80s. It's like, why don't you just forge your own future? And I'm a big believer in creating your own path and not what did we do well a decade ago, what's going to be hitting for the next decade. Look at all the different companies right now that are thriving. Are they worried about replicating a product from the past, or are they looking for what the next future thing is?
Innovation.
Future. Absolutely. Now, look, again, it can work, and I'm not saying that Bruce Bochy is not on my list somewhere, but to say that I'm hot on it is completely inaccurate. I'm very lukewarm at best when it comes to the Bruce Bochy reunion with the San Francisco Giants. I actually think it would be a bad look for Buster Posey because to me it screams, I don't have a lot of creativity and outside-the-box thinking or contacts around the league.
What if I threw this at you, and I would love participation from the fans right now, 888-957-9570. The phone lines are open. You can also text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Same number for both, 888-957-9570. We got a massive, massive show. A lot of Niners are going to dive into. We'll dive into the Warriors. We're currently talking about the Giants. We got Brian Baldinger, 7:30, Baldy's Breakdowns. Again, this is absolutely, without a doubt, the best show we have every week. It's on a Tuesday. We got the day to marinate on the game, on all the injuries. We got Bonte joining us after Baldy, 8 o'clock in studio for 2 hours. We'll touch on all three of the teams with the king himself. Bonte, he was at media day yesterday. He got to chat with all the players, say what's up to him. We'll get his thoughts on all the comments to Jonathan Kuminga, about Jonathan Kuminga, I should say, because Kuminga wasn't there. Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, all of that. I promise we will get to it. But what about this, Joe? And it's not like for like the same, but how did you feel when the 49ers brought back Robert Saleh as defensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, I think he was the best candidate available, and he's not the top dog. Like, he's the defensive coordinator, so it's a little different. It's, sure. It's slightly unique. It's like bringing back, to me, it would be like bringing back Luke Walton or Mike Brown or, what's the other guy that was on the team? He was the offensive coordinator, and then he left. He went to Phoenix. He's bounced around a few times. Oh, the name's evading me. One of the many coaches that the Warriors have brought back. Like, he wasn't really the top dog, so, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But
Alvin Gentry.
Alvin Gentry. Yeah. Thank you. Again, I'm not saying it can't work. Like, think about this. What's the issue right now with the Giants? You got a lot of young guys that play a different kind of brand of ball that want somebody that can connect to them. You've got a variety of personalities in that clubhouse that probably, to me, need someone closer to their age and their generation than from 3 or 4 generations ago. And I don't think going into the past is the correct tact here. I don't even know if Bochy wants it. Now, look, this would never happen. Ever. I don't think this would ever happen. But my number one choice is not Bruce Bochy.
Oh.
My number one choice is the guy from Tennessee, Tony Vitello. He's 40-something years old. He is a college baseball lifer. For those that are like rolling their eyes right now, college baseball, going to the bigs. Well, the guy who's managing the Milwaukee Brewers right now in the playoffs was the Arizona State coach. And to me, it's kind of like a Jimmy Johnson-esque acquisition. If you follow college baseball even a little, this guy didn't just like ignite Tennessee. He helped create them. First 40-win season, they've just been in the sectionals year after year after year after year. Now, you hire someone like that, you better have an old-time OG who does understand Major League Baseball and the 162 grind and all the inner workings. And that's where, and again, this would never happen, but would Bruce Bochy not want to be the top dog and be on that bench somewhere? As my trusted OG assistant, maybe he doesn't want to be in front of the cameras every day, getting peppered by the media every day. Maybe he wants more of a backseat. You know, could it be Ron Wotus? Could it be someone I'm not even anticipating right now? Like, look, The other name that really intrigues me, and I the Tennessee guy is the one that really hits me. I would love, love, love to go that direction. I think it meets what we're looking for. But Yadier Molina is another name that I keep seeing thrown out.
Yadi?
And I want to think about this. Like, you need someone who can connect this clubhouse. And there are lots of guys from different corners of the world. And Yadier has played on a variety of high-level teams. He's a catcher. I always love catchers as my managers because they are pitch-to-pitch, thinking about situations, five steps ahead, how to set up someone. You know, this guy's on the on-deck circle. This is how we have to attack this guy. I think Yadier Molina would be an excellent choice. But he would need somebody who's a trusted agent on that bench who has experience doing the job. You know, this reminds me a lot of like when Sean McVay took over the LA Rams. One of his first hires was Wade Phillips.
Mm.
And Wade Phillips had unbelievable, like an unbelievable feel and resume for how to do the job and how to maybe give some insights to a young rookie guy taking that first long journey. And so whether it's Tony Vitello, Yadier Molina, I hear people recommend Mark DeRosa, who coached the USA team.
Not
as hot on Mark DeRosa as others. I understand the allure. The other name that I keep seeing is Stephen Vogt. Stephen Vogt has got 1 year left on his contract with Cleveland. It would require some sort of negotiation with Cleveland. I feel like that's a long shot.
As Cleveland is hosting a playoff game today against the Detroit Tigers after an incredible September push and an incredible collapse by the Tigers. I don't see that one happening, but continue. Yes.
I don't either. I don't either. But, you know, I guess people think Cleveland is cheap or whatever. I think where I'm going at with this is that as much as I love Bruce Bochy, he is an all-time legend. I hold him in the highest of high regards. To me, going backwards and bringing him back in would not be my first choice. I understand the allure. I'm not saying that he's not great. I know he just won a championship with the Texas Rangers a couple of years ago. He's 70. He's 70.
He's old.
As much as I want to go back in time, I do believe part of the future of the Giants is forging a different path. That doesn't mean you can't have respect and honor all the things, you know, from 10, 12, and 14. But baseball's very different than what it was 15 years ago. And if they want to go into the future, I want someone who's going to have a long runway. That's just my preference currently as of right now.
Giants fans, are you all in on bringing Bruce Bochy back to the Bay? Or are you going elsewhere? Are you going new? Are you going innovative? Are you going, as Shasky's saying, you know, Tony Vitello's the guy you're referencing, the head coach at Tennessee. Is that the name you're going for? Are you going off the board? And what is Buster Posey looking for, more importantly? Because Yadier Molina, obviously one of his peers, a guy he played with, has tremendous respect for all the battles that the Cardinals and Giants have had in the past. Probably the two, like, when I think of the catchers of our generation, which is probably the last
10, 15-plus
years, it's him, Buster Posey, and Yadier Molina.
Yep.
And then for a little bit, it was Joe Mauer, but half of that was probably first base because all the concussions, what have you. But it's those two guys. When I just think of the top of their craft and knowing their pitching staffs inside and out, it's Yadier Molina and Buster Posey. I didn't even think of Yadier. That's a great name. And I just think of all the Spanish speakers in the clubhouse themselves. That is that's a big aspect of it. Being able to communicate with your star players.
That's what.
And I get that, like, Rafi Devers can speak some English. I get some of these guys can speak some English. There is a subtle nuance, though, of actually knowing both of the languages and knowing, you know, what makes these guys tick. That matters.
Well, and it doesn't mean that somebody who maybe doesn't speak Spanish at all can't, you know, navigate around that. But
absolutely.
I do believe
Bochy had a lot of Spanish speakers on team, and he knew those guys inside and out.
And they had a variety of guys on the staff
who
would be able to communicate in a variety of ways. But like connecting with the young guys is important. You know, I think whoever the next person is, you want Rafi Devers, Willy Adames, Matt Chapman to a slightly lesser degree, you know, Bryce Eldridge, Logan Webb, you know, you want those guys 1,000% on board.
You have to.
There's so much money invested in those guys that, and I'm not saying they're making the choice, but they have to at least have some sort of like thumbs up. Let's do this.
So you got Logan. I'm just looking at the depth chart right now, and this is kind of what I'm also wondering. And I get it. You're finding out your manager for the future. This is like the first major, you know, decision for Buster Posey right now. He got rid of Bob Melvin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you got to find something better now. Mm-hmm. Because Bob was 81-81 this past year. There was some good. There was some bad. It was a lot of meh, though. And I think Sam had the line yesterday when he told me he always referenced him as Bob Meh-vin, not Melvin. So I'll give you a 4 for that, Sam. It's good. Shout out Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys Pod. 150th episode yesterday. I made my first appearance. So shout out Sam.
Oh, he was just annoying the ever-living stuff out of me yesterday trying to get me on.
I texted you once. You're like, I don't know when my wife's going to be home.
He literally said on the pod, he's like, yeah, we got Spadoni on here. And obviously not because I couldn't get Steven Rizzotto or Joe Shasky on. It's because I wanted Joe as my first choice. Thanks, Sammy.
I'm sorry. My wife's going to New York this week. Your boy is just overwhelmed with life.
It's okay.
I apologize.
Concrete jungles where dreams are made of.
But
New
you
York,
know,
baby.
Like...
No, there's no hard feelings about it. Don't worry about it.
I want you guys to think about sports in the last, like, just 15, 20 years. You know, everyone's going to point to a Nick Saban going back and forth between college and pros or Jimmy Johnson. But there have been a lot of guys that have gone from the college ranks to the professional ranks, all right, in a variety of sports.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens is a great example. You know, Brad Stevens has had excellent success. Has he not?
He's had excellent success. He's one of the, we don't talk about Brad Stevens enough, not only as a college coach, an NBA head coach, but making the transition at his peak to the front office and becoming a champion there. That is literally Jerry West type of stuff.
Exactly. You know, and
he just wasn't the player that Jerry West was.
And then I think of someone to a much lesser degree, but Billy Donovan has had a heck of an NBA career. Like in the sense that look how long he stuck around.
I mean, he was really good on those like we sleep Billy Donovan on the OKC teams when he was there taking over for Scott Brooks. Like they had the Warriors on the brink there.
Exactly. And obviously Jim Harbaugh, having played in the pros, going back and forth between college and pros, is one example of it.
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's the other one. Well, and I would say that Tony Vitello, very much like Pete Carroll, is a culture builder. Mm. And I mean, he's hyped up out of his mind. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's got some sort of combination of Dan Campbell meets Pete Carroll, right? And those guys are infectious. And looking in the dugout the last couple of years, Kapler was so tense. They went complete opposite direction with Bob Melvin and they went total flatliner. To me, I actually think they need somebody who is like, let's go, let's pump it up, like going to clap it up with the boys and give somebody a bear hug and just not be so on edge at every single moment, but also not be dead asleep in the dugout. I think they need somebody who can thread the needle here, and that's why I think thinking inside the college ranks is not the worst move in the world.
When you look at this team, what's more important for this offseason? Is it adding to the roster? I know the cop-out answers say both, but is it the current depth chart and adding to it, or is it the managerial hire for you? Because I'm looking at it right now. You got Logan Webb, you got Robbie Ray. That's a hell of a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, next year, Kaiway Tang, do you bring back Justin Verlander, who salvaged his season pretty well, had a sub-4 ERA. The first couple months were rough. The win-loss percentage was awful for him. I know winning's not everything for the starting pitchers, but for some it still matters. I'm sure for Justin it was hard to watch that 0-10 for quite some time. You feel like you have a good nucleus now. For the first time in a long time, you have a legitimate nucleus at the top of that lineup. You got Devers, right? You got Chapman. You got Adames. You trade Ramos. You keep Ramos. You got Jung-Hoo Lee, who I actually thought had a hell of a, I'm calling a redshirt rookie season. Some ups and downs. Casey Schmidt, I thought emerged at times. Patrick Bailey.
I'm not going to fall victim to the final month of the season.
No, I'm not exactly. Drew Gilbert was, you know, he's a fun player, but producing-wise, but he's a young guy. And then Bryce Elder, obviously, is the big unknown and the guy you're hoping takes that big leap. So you got structure there. You have to add on top of that. And I guess that's where I'm at. When I saw the change yesterday, it's like, okay, that's one of the moves that they're going to have to make this offseason. But it's going to have, like, this is going to be the winter of Buster.
You know what
like,
this year reminds me of? And I didn't see this coming at the time. The 2010-2011 49er transition from Mike Singletary to Jim Harbaugh. Mm. Jim Harbaugh steps in, and everyone's like, whoa, actually, they got a ton of talent, and they're all in their prime. Whoa. Like, I think the right guy at the helm and a couple of moves, because I think both are true. They need multiple things to happen this offseason. With the right moves, the right guy at the helm, I think we're going to look at this situation completely different come March, April, and May. I really do. I think this team is a sleeping stud team that could really put a dent. Guys, look at the Dodgers. I know the West is theirs year after year. they got a lot of bloated contracts. Now, I know they got the randos that show up every single year that overproduce, but I think somebody's going to catch them next year. Well, I really do.
The Padres could have. They had an opportunity to the
last few
weeks.
They were vulnerable this year in a way that we didn't think was even possible at the beginning of the year.
I can't even think about the Dodgers or hell, the Padres yet. Like, you just cleared the D-backs within the last week. That's a team you're going to have to for sure overtake, and they have a lot of question marks. I guess they retained their manager, Torey Lovullo. So we're talking about it all right now. Bruce Bochy is out there, Giants fans. Should Buster Posey bring him back? Now, should he bring him back as manager? Do you want him back as a consultant? Or do you just want him back here in the Bay in general to go to the local bar and hang out and Bochy is there? Like, I made the comp last night. I know we're up against it. It's almost like, you move back to your hometown. Your grandpa's there, and you go to hang out with your grandpa, and you go to the ice cream store, and it's great. It's fun. It's awesome. But, it's grandpa, and grandpa's always going to be there. You'll always have those memories, Joe. I don't know if I need to go back to get those memories from a decade plus ago, and I don't know if it's going to translate with this current roster. None of those guys are here anymore.
I know.
Like, it's a new team. It's a new era. And I think to symbolize that, to really put your fingerprint on this organization of your Buster, you have to do something bold.
Well,
I don't think Bruce Bochy is bold. Yadier Molina, that would be bold.
Well, they need somebody who's energized, too.
Yes.
I think, and I'm not saying that Bruce isn't energized, but he looked tired at the end of the Texas run.
I would be, too. The guy's been doing this for a long time. A long time. He won the World Series in Texas. He's got to be made there forever. By the way, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Do you want Bruce Bochy back in the Bay, Giants fans? We'll get into that, plus Warriors Media Day. There was a lot of interesting sound we have to react to when it comes to Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, all of that. Brian Baldinger, 7:30, Bonte Hill in studio from 8 to 10. We'll talk about that Niners loss. And is Brock Purdy going to suit up on Thursday? It's not sounding like it. We'll get into that. And it's all going to be brought to you by Pier 39. We'll talk to Dave Fleming at some point this week. We'll put on our season recap with Dave, who's been good to us, great to us, actually, all
Thursday,
season long.
I think.
Thursday for David B. Fleming, courtesy of River Island's Guest Line. Well, today, we got Baldy at 7:30 in Bonte Allen Studio from 8 to 10.
There's another name that I haven't referenced that's actually been it's been an interesting one that I've seen, like, under the radar for a couple of years. Nick Hundley, who actually was a Giant, played with the A's as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was hired by the Texas Rangers as a special assistant to Chris Young, who was the general manager the last few years for the Texas Rangers. And he was recently at Pac Bell at AT&T. What, I don't even, was it Oracle? I don't even know what we're calling it these days.
Singular Wireless Park. That's what we're calling it. Remember that? Singular? It was like the orange X.
Continue. Yes. But he's an interesting name, too, and I know he doesn't have any experience, but I'm always, how do I put this? I'm going to always be enamored if you're a guy who, used to play, has connections around the league, and just grew up in and out of the game your entire life and has been a catcher at some level. Like, I love guys that were catchers because I think that you are thinking pitch by pitch, not just about what you're doing right now, but how are you setting something up for 2, 3, 4, 5 batters down the line? You have a manager's mentality when you are looking at how your pitcher should approach said lineup every single day. I'm a big believer in that. You've been communicating with bullpen guys and trying to get the best out of them the entirety of your career.
They're the bridge from the everyday guys to the pitching staff. They're the bridge, if you will.
They are. And they're almost like therapists for your team. Yep. They are, the statistician, or data guy. And I know we do advanced metrics and like that. Catchers have been doing that in their head for years, And so I always love those guys that are catchers. I'm not saying that you have to be a catcher to be a great manager. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that guys that are great managers, a lot of them have catching somewhere in their background.
Here's Buster Posey, who spoke to the media yesterday, in 888-957-9570. Giants fans, do you want Bruce Bochy back as manager of your squad? This is what Posey said initially yesterday on the firing of one Bob Melvin.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, right? It's definitely not ideal. But unfortunately, we've talked about it a lot you know, what the standards are for the Giants, and we have high standards, and I hold myself to those same standards. I mean, I understand fully that the position that I'm in now, my job and the team's success is evaluated accordingly as well. And, you know, you without a doubt hope that there can be consistency in these leadership positions. And, you know, we've got to get back to a place where, you know, we're getting in the playoffs, we're making runs in playoffs, and that's what our fan base deserves. That's what the city deserves. And as I mentioned before, or I don't know if I mentioned it, you know, when seasons don't go the way you want them, it's never one person's fault. It's never one group's fault. But when they don't go the way you want them, you can't, in my opinion, can't sit there and say we're going to come back and do the same thing that we did this year for the next year. So, you know, having said that, that's part of why we landed where we landed.
I think Bob Melvin was probably not the right person to be controlling the team moving forward. I heard a question at the very end of the presser. I forget who asked it, but they were like, hey, you guys missed the playoffs by two or three games. Had you made the playoffs, would we be having this discussion? And they basically said, Posey, well, I don't do hypotheticals.
Yeah, I think it was Baggerly that asked it. Yeah.
It's interesting to me because, like,
it was very short. It was a very short response. That's literally, like, what he said, and that was it.
I think two things can be true. I think, number one, the team success was irrelevant to how they felt about Bob Melvin, to me, to a degree. Yes, if you make the playoffs and you go on a deep run and you can be swayed, you're always going to have that small semblance. But I just don't think he was ever Posey's guy. That's number one. Number two, the team was flawed. And I will give Bob Melvin some leeway here in that even though I don't like him as manager and I was very like, ugh, when they hired him, I still believe the hand he was dealt was not a great one. I know Logan Webb said, hey, this is the best team I've ever been on. Yeah, that's true. You also had basically two pitchers for months on end. Verlander, though it looked better at the end, ended up being your third most important pitcher for 3 months of the season, 2 months of the season, which is not good enough. Landon Rupp had a great year, got hurt, never came back.
Yeah.
You traded away all of your relievers, which was the right decision. But, like, this team didn't have enough pitching. I think that some of the position players that they were relying on were so up and down in their performance. So there was a roster construction issue. There was players stepping up and not playing to their ability. You know, Adames had 2.5 months that were god-awful.
Yeah.
I know he finished with 30 home runs. You're kidding yourself if you think Adames had a great year. He had a good year considering how poor it started.
A lot of the players had a bad 2.5 months. That's,
no doubt.
That's the reason they didn't make the playoffs.
Even Devers, like the first whatever month wasn't great. He ended up still hitting 20 home runs in his 90 games with the Giants. So, like, I think there was a lot of up and down performances that are out of Melvin's control. And I also think that there's a lot of, like, very specific fundamental things that everyone's like, yeah, it's on the manager. Base running mistakes? You can teach base running all you want. Sometimes it's a guy just out there going rogue.
Mm.
Just going rogue. So, two things are true. Melvin wasn't great. I was ready to move off him. They also have a lot of work to do on the roster.
888-957-9570. Do you believe, Joe? I know that Posey said it's a hypothetical. I'm not going to go down that road. Do you think had this team made the playoffs, they would have kept Melvin?
They probably would have, and I think that would have set them back. Because we would have had these same discussions about Bob Melvin next year.
Now,
the first 2 week bad stretch, what would we have been saying?
I mean, it would have been.
They need a fresh start.
They need a fresh start. It's hard for me to like really have a strong opinion on Bob Melvin because I always viewed him as a lame duck, and I think you did too, and I think a lot of people did this season. He wasn't Posey's guy. We see this all the time, and it's baseball. It's not baseball exclusive. We see it all the time in the NFL more, where it's like you inherit like a new GM, correct? A new GM takes over, or president of football operations, what have you, and they want to put their imprint, and they take over a team, right? And, you know, this time around, it was, you know, whoever, what was the most recent interim coach that took over, and they tried it, and it didn't work, and they flipped the page immediately.
Jeff Saturday?
Yes, sorry, Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce.
There you go. Right? And then a new regime took over. Tom Brady was like minority owner, but he's going to start calling the shots, and he's going to be the new guy. Clean house. Now, Posey gave, you know, Bob Melvin some respect because Bob, you know, to his credit in the past, he was able to, like, do good things with the A's. He did take the Padres to the NLCS. He did take the Diamondbacks at one point to the NLCS. He was able to do that, but it's not what this current team needs.
You know, like, I super respect Susan Slusser, okay? She has been covering, the Bay Area teams for a long, long time. But she is so off. Like, for someone who's been covering these teams for so long, Giants fans don't give a rip about anything that you do with the A's. It's not that we hate the A's. We just literally don't care.
Well, also,
we don't care. And she's like, well, you know, Bay Area fans, they know Bob Melvin. Yeah. Not my buddies. Not my family and friends. You know what we thought of Bob Melvin? Why did he keep losing in the playoffs? Why do teams keep saying goodbye?
Well, I think if Slusser's saying that, she's also speaking out of turn on A's fans and the majority of how they felt about Bob. Because I was an A's fan, and most of the A's fans that I know, a big majority, were tired of Bob Melvin choking the playoffs and other teams choking the playoffs.
Yeah, but
sorry, no, that's how they felt about him towards the end.
There's this weird thing, and I'm not picking on her, but like Greg Poppin is the same thing, Greg and Susan. Giants fans don't care about anything that the A's done. Just because we live in the Bay Area, I have zero emotional attachment to the A's and people that did something in an A's uniform at all. That does not resonate with me. And just because Bob was a Giant for a year and a half, from 87, 88, and into 89, like, miss me with that. Most people, like, Sam wasn't even alive when that happened. Most people don't even remember that. So
Sam wasn't even alive.
Well, like, Sam's a diehard. He's in his 30s right now, a complete diehard. But, like, they were selling us on, like, you know, the Bay Area fan really likes Bob. No, we don't. I was there. When Bob Melvin got introduced, you know who got the loudest ovation? Pat Burrell and Matt Williams. Guys that were real Giants.
Speaking of loud ovations, I wonder if Jonathan Kuminga's going to get one if he plays in the preseason game this Sunday. Speaking of which, on the other side, we have an update on the Kuminga crisis. You know what's going to be brought to you by? I'll tell you what it's going to be brought to you by. As I have so many paper today. I have like 20 sheets of paper. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. A lot was said yesterday about the upcoming season, but also a lot was said about, you guessed it, Jonathan Kuminga, the gift that keeps on giving. It's literally been Christmas year round when it comes to Kuminga conversations, because we all got to get a gift on JK. Just play it. Just play the thing. Come on. Just give it to me, Carter. Give it to me with your SF Giants hat. Kuminga, and then you're back in.
Kuminga is fun.
All right. I love that we do remixing on it now. So,
oh my goodness.
So the deadline for the qualifying offer.
When you guys, one second. When
is
you
tomorrow.
Guys drop all those little, like, I'm the one who has to feel the repercussions of that.
What do you mean?
Because the I hate you. I hate you.
Heard around the world.
I hate you.
Is that White Mike? We're talking about the Kuminga crisis. Black Rob, Wet.
Well, the nicknames. No. You guys. Just...
What? Did you hear what Steph said yesterday? Did you hear what Draymond Green said? Did you hear what Jimmy Butler? Literally, every single one of them was asked about JK. I want to say it was all the first questions, too, was about Jonathan Kuminga. And, oh, by the way, shout-out to our guy, Nick Friedel, back officially on the Warriors beat for The Athletic. Obviously, Anthony Slater, who's been our guy for a long time, moving over to ESPN. Still got love for Slater, absolutely. Shyam Charania, he's working in tandem with him over there. But Nick Friedel, welcome back to the Warriors beat. We missed you, buddy, and I can't wait to talk to Nick Friedel, hopefully sooner rather than later. And he had an interesting tweet yesterday covering Media Day and saying this is like the first time he's ever seen a head coach / GM not participate speaking to the media yesterday, as Steve Kerr nor Mike Dunleavy spoke yesterday. Huh. Joe, why do you think that is?
It's because Jonathan Kuminga and his representation are not understanding that there's four options, and that's it. These are it. These are the only options on the planet, and they have been for a long time. I'm beyond fatigued by this entire thing. There's four options. The first one is accept the qualifying offer. The second one is 2 years, $45 million, team option. 3 years, $75 million, team option. 3 years, $54 million, no team option. That's it. That's it. There's no present that's going to come down into the sky and give you a fifth option. Those are your four options. And if I am ownership, if I am the GM, if I am the head coach, if I am a player on the team, I'm over this whole exercise. This whole, like, we understand it's a business, it's supply and demand, okay? At this point, Jonathan, based on the rules of the CBA, you have four options. Okay? Choose one so that everyone else can go about their business. All right? I gave it to you. The two, the three, the other three-year deal with no option, or the qualifying offer. It is beyond exhausting. And when Steph Curry, the greatest player in our lifetime for the Warriors, is basically saying, like, yeah, I don't even, like, without, you know, just play his sound.
I got the sound. Let's play it right now.
Like, I thought it was the most agitated I've ever seen Steph regarding another player's contract situation. And that includes the KD era.
Well, Joe, think about it. I'm going to play the sound. It's a question attached to it from Anthony Slater on Jonathan Kuminga's situation and trying to separate business from the basketball. But literally the season ended back in May with questions about JK. And fast forward to the start of the season, and they're still asking the same questions about it. How frustrating is that? Your first day back at work, Joe. It's like the ending of the school year, right? And you're sitting down with your teacher, and it's going to be the same teacher next year, but you're sitting down with your teacher. It's like, all right, these are the things you need to work on this summer. These are the things you need to work on. And then you come back first day next school. It's like, you didn't work on those things. We still need to work on these same things. It's just frustrating all around if you're the teacher in this scenario. This is Stephen Curry on Jonathan Kuminga's situation.
You know, once Kuminga gets here, you expect him to be kind of locked in. But this has obviously already been a big offseason distraction. There's almost an inevitability it's going to bleed into once he gets back. How concerned are you just about the overall distraction of the situation?
I don't frame it like that. I think he's going to get asked questions. To your point, you're asking questions. Everybody's going to ask questions about it. But what happens when I leave this microphone and we go in the locker room and us players talk, like, that's going to be the make or break of how we kind of move into the year with the right frame of mind. So the good news is you've been around long enough. Me, Draymond, Jimmy, we've all been around long enough to know how to separate the business of it to the basketball of it. And those are two totally different areas. So our job is to focus on the basketball part and not let it become something that, you know, gets in the way of how we approach every day.
That's going to make or break the mindset to start off this season. That's coming from a guy that knows how important and how fragile the mindset of a team can be to start off a season. Why is he saying that? Because he does not want a Jordan Poole, Draymond Green situation again. Not saying that Draymond Green or anyone's going to punch Jonathan Kuminga, but that's a season that was doomed from the start because of bad locker room vibes.
Wouldn't you also,
Steph is saying that can break a team early on before the season even starts.
I mean, and it made it very, very difficult with Kevin Durant. Yep. It made it very, very difficult with Klay Thompson. I mean, those are
now
real.
That team was so talented with KD that they could just get to the finals. But it was still tumultuous.
It was stormy.
Yes.
Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Paul. I don't think the Chris Paul, you know, kind of being in flux, I don't think that was great.
Yeah.
I think actually it was probably underreported.
Yeah.
I don't think this is exclusive to just Jonathan Kuminga. I think this has happened for a long time on a lot of teams. But we've reached the point of no return. Dude, you have four options. Pick one. Like, just pick one. And it's you've had all summer. No one else is stepping up and giving you a $30 million a year deal. No one else is stepping up and making a trade right now. You have to be realistic, right? And so as you survey the land, I think one thing that is pretty evident, you got four options. Three of them are multi-year deals. If you don't like those, you take the qualifying offer. What is the holdup?
You got to ask Aaron Turner. You got to ask his agent. You got to ask the Kuminga camp. I don't know what the holdup is. Obviously, the deadline for the qualifying offer is tomorrow, October 1st. Now, it's being reported that they can push back the deadline, but I'm hearing from, or I'm reading from Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports, who covers the league. Kuminga and the Warriors have had no discussions about pushing back his deadline to accept the qualifying offer. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, barring a miracle, I don't think there's going to be a three-year extension with a player option, which is what Jonathan Kuminga wants. It sounds like he's probably going to accept the qualifying offer. And is this just something where, you know, we've all done this in the past where you milk it and milk it and milk it, and you're going to be that thorn in everyone's side. And he's like, I'm not going to play game. I'm not going to play ball. I'm going to whine and I'm going to pout and I'm going to wait till the very last minute till you want me to do something. Is that what's going to happen here? I hope that's not the case. And I hope what Steph Curry's saying is true, that they could all separate the business side from the basketball side. And when and if he does get that qualifying offer, you know, he gets in there, they all work, everything's fine, hunky-dory, and that's the best-case scenario. It's just when I hear the frustration in Steph, and we'll get to Draymond and Jimmy about this stuff, and then on top of it, your head coach and general manager aren't there, I thought yesterday was just a bad look. It was just a bad look for everyone.
Well, I understand he doesn't want to play on the team anymore. Like, I get that. But also, it's the NBA, and what comes with making millions of dollars at 18 years old is, yeah, your contractual rights are held by a team. Like, there's give and take. That's why the CBA exists. Is it perfect? No, it's far from it. And I understand everybody wants some. I guarantee we go around the league right now, Joe. Go around the league right now.
Let's go.
How many players on how many different teams are frustrated with the team they're currently on and want out?
Quite a bit, I'd say. Yes.
I agree.
Thus is the nature of the NBA, but that's also sports in general. I'm sure.
I think that's life.
You do the NFL and MLB all the time.
I bet you go to Walgreens right now. There's a bunch of people that don't want to be there.
People in this building.
Exactly. Yes. Right. And so, again, you also have to have a good understanding of what you're able to do and when you're able to do it and who you are relative to the league. And I think that they have misread the entire market over and over and over again, both internally and externally. And I'm talking about the Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga's team. Both are at fault. And now we've come down to, guys, this staring contest that we're in, there are four options. There's the two-year with the player, with the team option, the three-year with the team option, or the three-year without a team option. Then there's the